This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Vermont doesn't have the room or, in some cases, the security capabilities to house all of its prison population at our current numbers. So we contract out with a private prison operator to take some of the men coming through the system. Since 2004, that private operator has been the Corrections Corporation of America. But the current contract comes to an end this year. So last fall, the Vermont Department of Corrections started reviewing bids from CCA and other operators. Corrections Commissioner Andy Polito said at that time that Vermont faced some hurdles when it comes to getting a good contract.
There's something like 100,000 beds in the out-of-state market. We're only looking at 400 or 500 or 600 beds in total, and so we're a pretty small consumer. Because we're such a small consumer in this market, we're kind of not in a position where we can dictate a lot of the contract particulars, and so we're a little bit at the mercy of the bidders.
The state did make a decision in the end, choosing to leave its association with CCA and form ties with the GEO Group. Vermont's prisoners that go out of state will now serve their sentences in Michigan rather than in Kentucky and Arizona. Today on Vermont Edition, DOC Commissioner Andy Polito joins us to explain the differences for prisoners and for their family members. We'll also look at a decision to end an educational program in the women's prison, and we'll talk about concerns the commissioner has about security in light of the high-profile prison break at Dannemora Prison in upstate New York. Commissioner Polito, a pleasure to have you back on the show. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much for having me on.
So let's talk first about this new contract with the GEO Group and the move to Michigan. Does the change over to the GEO Group from CCA save the state any money?
Well, so the rate for the GEO Group is actually less than what we're currently paying CCA. However, CCA, through their bid, through this bid process, actually cut their rate as well. This is a little bit cheaper in GEO, but it's only, I think it's about 20 cents a day. So it's not a whole lot, 20 cents a day per inmate. Overall, this is about an $8 million contract, seven and change. And so it's still a substantial expenditure by the state. GEO and CCA are the largest players in this out-of-state market. And I think I said on that tape 100,000 beds. I think it was a little bit light. I think it's probably 80,000 or 90,000 with CCA and 75,000 with GEO. They're very large organizations. And so we're looking at right now, our current out-of-state population today is 299, which is much reduced from where we were. We were over 600 and cruising up over to 1,000. And so
a few years ago, because last year at this time, you were more like 485.
That's correct. And so we've actually done a lot of work in bending the curve, but we still have an out-of-state presence. And so my comments about the amount of influence that we have in this market are still accurate, which is actually even more accurate in that we have very little influence. And so we went through this process. This is a normal ending of the CCA contract under State Bulletin. It ends after 4 years. June 30th is the fourth year. And so we put out a bid and went through a review process, and GEO emerged as the best fit for us based on a series of factors, of which cost was one of them. But there wasn't much cost difference between the two entities.
Well, given that cost wasn't much different and given that CCA had also reduced its price in the competitive bidding process, what were the factors that made you think GEO Group was a better fit for Vermont?
So there were several reasons, but predominantly the current contract with CCA has us in a facility that is largely open style. So people have a lot of freedom of movement, which is a good thing. However, when we have instances of fights, assaults, those sorts of things, there's no way to contain the population. So what we looked for in this contract was a more secure environment for when we need it. Second, it's an environment that allows all of our population. So we don't have people going to Kentucky, people going to Arizona. We have to send caseworkers and security people out to those facilities frequently. They're traveling in two different places. It didn't make a lot of sense. And last, it's closer to Vermont in the Kentucky case, much, much closer in the Arizona case. And so we've made some improvements in how we transport and otherwise because of this contract, which we can talk about. But it's closer to Vermont by a couple of hours at least. And so I think it fits as a better fit for us. In the end, our goal is still to close the out-of-state program. We've made that as a kind of an underscore for the entire Shumlin administration. You started to hear it even in the Douglas administration. That's still our goal, but we still have a presence of nearly 300 individuals. So we're trying to find the most safe, secure environment that fits that population for the time being.
I'm going to ask you more about that overall goal of eliminating the need to have any prisoners out of state. So we'll double back to that because that's a big and important question, and we have listeners who have questions about that. But just to get a few more details out first about this new contract, it sounds like the GEO Group was the best fit for Vermont, given the bids that you got. You mentioned that you wanted to be able to have all of Vermont's prisoners go to one place. Splitting in the past, was that due to the security level of the prison that the prisoners needed?
So CCA was Kentucky was considered a medium security facility, Arizona a maximum security facility. And those are basically based on movement, so on and so forth. In Michigan, we have both levels of security, so we can put both levels of people within that one building. So it is based on security.
Okay. What are your concerns about the GEO Group? Because certainly no contract is perfect, and we've seen in these for-profit prison organizations, including CCA in the past, that there are pretty significant concerns, and I know you have some.
Right. So the hardest thing, I think, from running the Department of Corrections is actually administering this contract. We have to accept, and I do accept, that as soon as we send guys that are in our custody out of state, we give up some level of control. I am now reliant on people that aren't state employees, that don't have a legislature overseeing them, to administer a pretty serious service. And so when we put this contract out, we tried to split it apart to see if we could attract other state entities and so on and so forth. But all states have different laws, different complications, and aren't really willing to get into this level of housing other states' inmates. We swap out individuals, but that's a whole different mechanism. And so we're really left with two large organizations in this pool. And so one of the reasons that we've made closing the out-of-state facility permanently a priority is for that very reason. One of the reasons I resisted so heavily closing Windsor during the session was because in my opinion, RI needs to be on closing the out-of-state program, not closing Windsor. If it drops again beyond our out-of-state presence, then I think we have a different opportunity. Or if we build a new facility that can replace some of the older facilities, those are different opportunities. But as long as we have people out of state where we have to administer a contract, trying to find out what's going on out there, not having a 24/7 presence, not being able to have easy access for the prisoner's rights office, the advocates can't have easy access, it requires travel. It's a liability. And so when we have an incident in an out-of-state facility, it takes a little bit longer to get the details. You don't always know all of the details. We have to send people down, so there's a gap in time. It's definitely one of those tricky things. The state made this decision 20 years ago to do this, and so we're just trying to get to – and we didn't have any experience to know that it would be this complicated. We're just trying to get to a place where we can back out of it safely, so on and so forth.
I'm talking with Andy Polito. He's the Department of Corrections Commissioner, and we're talking right now about the new contract the state is entering with the GEO Group. Part of that contract includes prisoners who need to serve their sentences out of state going to a prison in Michigan. Up until now, prisoners have been going to Arizona and Kentucky in the last few years, so now they'll be headed to Michigan. That crossover happening right now in the next couple months. Has anybody actually gone to the new prison in Michigan yet?
Yes, we have. We have actually – the reason this contract took so slow to unroll is because once I thought CCA has kind of a slam dunk in this. They've been providing services. We didn't know a lot about GEO. But once GEO emerged as kind of the preferred provider for the next step, I stepped back and made our employees go to other GEO facilities. So we've been to Baldwin, but Baldwin is basically a vacant facility. I wanted to go in and talk to inmates in other facilities, and that's what we did, interview them. What's going on? What is the staffing like? How are you treated? How do you feel as an individual, you know, within the construct of a corrections environment, but still to have some level of feedback, and it was fairly positive. One thing I didn't answer, both of these companies, and they're pretty much the only two, have significant histories of legal activity, as do most state corrections departments. So we're not
– By legal activity, you mean
– suits against them for conditions of confinement, employee misconduct, all kinds of stuff. But so do all state and federal corrections departments. We have.
Is that because we don't do a good job in this country?
No, I think it's because of the amount of people that we send in and out of correctional environments. You know, we're dealing with, as you're seeing in Dannemora, we're dealing with old buildings. We're dealing with contracted staff. We're under pressure to retain staff. So when we talk about state employees not getting raises or cutting their retirement plans, those are corrections employees too. So all those things go into running a corrections department. And we deal with a really difficult clientele. They come in with long histories of criminal behavior in some cases, long histories of noncompliance with medical and mental health treatment, substantial 70 to 80% addiction histories, and so that's a very complicated clientele, and there is a rigidity around perfection in what we do, and so that all kind of adds up to what I would consider substantial legal activity.
I think I got you off track a little bit. You were just answering whether or not prisoners have moved so far to Michigan, and that's going to take place over the next couple months.
That's right. That'll hopefully be completed by July 15th. It'll start within the next couple of weeks. It's going to be an air transport, which is a significant improvement over what we're doing right now. Right now, it's bus transport. So if you can imagine a 13-hour bus ride between here and Kentucky, this is going to be done via aircraft, which will be a significant improvement. They'll leave a local airport in Vermont, and it's basically a two-hour flight from here to Michigan and unload. It's much quicker. Has a couple of nuances or things you can't do in an aircraft that you can do in a bus, but other than that, it's a much more collapsed transportation routine.
So, listeners, if you have a question right now, we're talking with Commissioner Polito specifically about the new contract with GEO Group and what it's going to mean for prisoners who are serving in Michigan. We have some emails and comments from family members who have been visiting prisoners out of state and want to know specifics about this new contract. And if you have a question that you'd like to ask the commissioner about this or about Vermont's security, about educational opportunities within the prison system for Vermonters, we're going to be talking with the commissioner for a little bit longer, so you can ask those questions by calling 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Or you can post your comments on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. We got a note from Connie who says, I've been visiting my boyfriend in Kentucky a couple of times now. The 1,000 miles travel is being compensated by the 16-hour visit, the hugs, kisses, and being able to hold hands with my loved one. My question is, the visitation hours and days in the Michigan Corrections Facility are already shortened, but I would like to know if we are given at least the same privilege of contact visits as allowed in Kentucky. I'd like to ask to please not take that small privilege away from our loved ones behind bars far away from home.
So one of the improvements, it is a long trip, and one of the improvements with the Michigan facility will be the ability to visit via video. So you should be able to visit more often as a result. I think it's $9 and change. There's a link on our website to all this detail, $9 and change for a 30-minute video, which will be basically, I think it's to your home computer. There'll be instructions on our website. In terms of the specifics of how the visit
A physical in-person visit would go.
I don't know the detail of that, to be perfectly honest with you, but there is an opportunity to influence some of those things going into Michigan, and I would expect that we should have the same level of visits that we're having in Kentucky. And so that'll have to be something that I'll have to take a look into.
So how would Connie find out about that? Just keep checking back at your website?
She could email her caseworker directly, his caseworker directly, her boyfriend's caseworker directly in a central office and ask that specific question and get a response that way.
Okay. And you mentioned the Skype-style calls. We also got a note from a listener who has a loved one being moved to Michigan and who says, how do the phone calls work? What's the company they're going to use in Michigan so that we can set up credit accounts? And then also wants to know how they're being transported to GEO and how long the travel time is.
So it should be fairly short. It's going to be based on an aircraft. So it'll be two, because our population has dropped to 299, and I anticipate we may see one more drop before this contract actually takes effect. And so we'll have two big groups that'll go via an aircraft, and it'll be quick. It'll be probably an hour and a half. It's a relatively short flight. So that'll be rather than a bus ride. So that'll be the first part of that.
Those are the prisoners who are currently in facilities in Arizona
correct.
And Kentucky.
That's correct.
Once the contract starts, you'll have one flight a month from Vermont to Michigan?
That's correct. And so both of these contracts, so because these companies are so big, they either own transport companies or they have preferential rates with transport companies. In GEO's case, they own, I think, several aircraft, and we're going to use one of those aircraft once a month, transports in and out. Now, if we ever get into a situation where we see growth patterns that we had in the past, we'll have to think about increasing that, which will cost us to stay more money. But embedded in the per diem rate in GEO is one per month between Vermont and Michigan. And so it'll be relatively quick.
And then the other question was about how do I find out, this listener wants to know, how do I find out about how to set up a credit account for phone calls and the phone system?
So there is information on our website regarding phone calls. There's an FAQ. I think you posted it on your website too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I don't know that it has that particular question answered. If not, she can contact his caseworker who should walk him through the process. One thing I'd mention, we're anticipating some of this as issues. We've given inmates out of the rec fund $20 in each of their phone accounts so they can call home, I'm leaving, I'm here, that kind of thing. So we've tried to anticipate some of the moves. I will admit every time we've moved in the past, we have had issues right out of the gate. We're trying to stem that. There is a natural unrest amongst the population whenever you start taking property, you're putting in boxes, you're moving. It's just – it's unsettling. Moving and divorce are the two worst things in life, so this is no different for this population. We're trying to anticipate that. We're going to spend some rec fund money on the ground for when they get there, a few extra privileges for the time being in the beginning. Obviously, if we see instances of things popping up, we're going to have to react. It is still a prison, so we still have to treat it like a prison, but we're trying to at least head some of this off a little bit.
That's Commissioner Andy Pulido. He is Commissioner of the Department of Corrections. We're talking today about some of the issues in the DOC. We're looking specifically at the new contract with the GEO Group and what it's going to mean for the approximately 300 men currently incarcerated out of state who will be moving to a prison in Michigan. We're also going to talk to the commissioner about that idea of how and when and why we could get to the point where there are no out-of-state prisoners. We want to at least briefly address the topic of security questions, too, given that so many people are thinking about safety and security in our prisons with the Dannemora prison escape. And we'll hear from many more of you who have questions for the commissioner. If you'd like to add your voice to the conversation, our number is 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Or you can post your thoughts on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. Today on the show, we're joined by Department of Corrections Commissioner Andy Pulido. He's been explaining why the state made a change in contracts for out-of-state prisoners. We're also going to look at some other corrections issues. And if you have a question about educational opportunities, about an isolation unit that some drug-addicted women are in South Burlington, or budget questions, you can share them on the Vermont Edition Facebook page or call 1-800-639-2211. Let's go to Bill, who's calling in from Middlebury. Hi, Bill. You're on the air. You there, Bill? Yeah, go ahead.
Paul, I'm asking about the internal environment as a neighborhood and how this shift to Michigan may improve the sense of well-being and lifestyle for all the people who are present, the convicted inmate population, the guards and the visitors who will or will not have access in a convenient way. I, just for full disclosure, have spent 60 days on three different occasions at Marble Works and Newport, and I know that there are harsh consequences for relatively abiding, rule-abiding people who are subjected to returning populations from the other states where there's a lot of importation of drugs. There's full awareness by the guards who condone this. And whether you see an internal environment improving in the quality of living for everybody.
Commissioner Pulido.
So one of the things you mentioned is about what's been called the isolation unit for women in Chittenden. We have a population that has an addiction rate of 70-80%. It's that way in Vermont. It's that way pretty much across the country. And so one of the things that when Governor Shumlin ran, he really focused on violent versus nonviolent people in jail. And one of the things I've said consistently is we ask a lot of departments of corrections in terms of who we send to them and at what stage of their life they're in and what they've done and so on and so forth. So one of the things we've taken really seriously is the issue of contraband. And I think you saw from earlier media reports that we partnered with VSP. We made some changes in how we move through facility security environments, so on and so forth, security improvements. And our positive hits for drugs in facilities has dropped way off, right? That comes with a loss of some privileges for people. But in terms of protecting the entire population it's been pretty successful. And so if somebody really comes in and they get into jail, and jail is a difficult environment, if they finally get to the point where they do want to make a change, it's easier to do when they're not surrounded by a bunch of people who are engaged in illegal activity. And so one of the things we've done is really focused in on this issue of contraband. Right now, the department is writing a rule as directed by the legislature on staff searches. That's the final piece of taking this contraband issue seriously and creating a culture of when you come into jail, it's going to be as difficult, if not more, to get illegal substances as it was when you were outside, as opposed to the other way around. And so,
and the staff searches are you'd actually be searching staff members at the prison to make sure that they are not bringing in drugs and selling them.
It is really controversial because the union has some concerns. What do you do? How are you going to do it? What do you do if you find somebody? What if it, you know, tobacco is illegal in prisons? What if I find somebody with tobacco or a prescription that they were prescribed? So we have clearly a long way to go, but we're starting the conversation, and we had a public meeting on it. Resulted in a rule. And again, this starts with the legislature directing us to do this. I don't want to, this isn't like we just decided we're going to do this on our own. And so there's pieces that we're putting in place. The piece in Chittenden has to do with keeping people who are caught utilizing in jail separate from the general population so that they don't compromise the safety and addictions of all the population. So that's really kind of where we're heading on it.
And a lot of that came out in 7 days reporting by Catherine Flagg, spoke with some of the women
who
have been
toured
in
the
this
facility.
Unit.
Right.
When you mentioned staff searches and that is a component that you're working towards, one of the things that Catherine Flagg reported on in her article was that strip searches were reinstituted for prisoners, and that helped bring the number way down because you can find contraband because people do hide it in places on their body.
Right.
Is that something that would also be included in the staff searches?
No.
Would it be a strip search?
No, we're not going to go anywhere near that. That's way too complicated, and I don't know any system that actually does. This is more about at least having the ability to check what's in somebody's lunchbox. So at least you get the bigger pieces of contraband. We took out – you're correct. We took out strip searches in the Chittenden facility for women based on, frankly, pushback from the advocates. And we – despite what people think, we do try and run a system that's responsive to comments. And positive urine analysis and contraband went through the roof. And it was to the point where – left in my chair is a decision, do I wait for somebody to OD, potentially die, or do we do some things that are uncomfortable? So we reinstituted those, and it seems to have had an effect.
Let's go to Jean, who's calling in from South Burlington. Hi, Jean. Go ahead.
Hi. My question is, when you send inmates out of state, you are essentially giving them a greater punishment than anyone who remains in Vermont in many, many ways. Phone calls are much more expensive. Commissary is more complicated and more expensive. You can't purchase things for your loved one. They have to do it themselves. Visits are much more difficult. Why does the DOC not compensate those inmates, either with a reduction in their time or somehow covering the cost of their video visits? Inmates in Vermont get visits for free. They don't have to go online and spend $9 for 30 minutes. Their phone calls are much less expensive. Why is there not compensation for that from the DOC?
So we have to – the DOC has to operate within the sentence that we're given. So we can't compensate – I'm sorry. We cannot commute any part of a sentence or whatnot. That's something that's done by the courts. Used to be, when we first went out of state, only a certain segment of the population went based on a sentence criteria, right? So – and it was small numbers. Then so many people were coming into jail. I've often asked the question, do people come back from out of state, have a different recidivism rate, get into trouble more than people that stay in state? And my response, particularly 5 or 6 years ago, was everybody's going out of state for at least some part because the velocity of people coming through the door is so great that we don't have a chance to really piece out the population. This right now, what we're experiencing is a relatively new phenomenon where the out-of-state population has dropped and to a point where we're actually – our movement is a little less or transports are down. I've not really contemplated the idea of paying for video visitation. I think that would be something that the Oversight Committee I can bring in front of them, but it would be an appropriation issue at that
point.
That's
the Legislative Oversight Committee.
That's correct. Corrections Oversight Committee, correct. That would be an appropriation issue, but certainly I can – I don't think it's a bad idea to take a look at how much would one video visitation per – inmate per month or something like that cost and see if they have an appetite for it.
the number of people imprisoned in Vermont has been dropping in the last couple of years. In fact, in the first decade of the 21st century, it was going up. It got pretty high. It got well over 2,000, like 2,200 or so.
It was over 2,300 at one point.
Over 2,300. Yeah. Okay. And in the last couple of years, it's been coming down. We're almost at about the 1,800 total that we were at in 2000. And that's men and women in state and out of state. We're at about 1,800. So why? Are we just imprisoning fewer people? Are we seeing fewer crimes committed? Both? Neither?
Yes, it's everything, actually. It's different points in the legislative history over the last handful of years to create some initiatives, transitional housing, changes in what the department does, changes in policy. It's fewer people being detained. It's crime rates dropping. It's diversion programs such as the rapid intervention program that the DOC partnered with the Chittenden County State's Attorney, T.J. Donovan, with. So it's all those things kind of mixed together equal a number today, which is in the 1800s. We have 130-something females in jail, 134, which is really, really low. Those numbers are continuing to drop. The reason I'm so upbeat about this is there's a couple of things emerging. Pretrial has not completely come on across the state. That's an opportunity for people, frankly, to get serious about treating addiction as a public health issue and get it out of the criminal justice system altogether for once and for all. But this is the first, probably the second step. TJ has already done that in Chittenden. Now it's a chance to bring that across the state and at some point really deliberate whether or not we even need to have addictions in the criminal justice process and tie up that resource. Second piece is we have transitional housing money sites across the state. We went on a tear to build those over the last handful of years. We've gotten checked by the state auditor office around how much we were monitoring them, how we were filling those beds, vacancy rates. We're taking another look at them. And through that process, I think we can fill those beds even faster and potentially bring this population down more. And the third piece is legislature appropriated to us $700,000 to think about other forms of reentry that we could fund. And we're in the process of thinking, how can we do this in a way that's different but gets more people out of jail? I will mention, while we're doing this work and these numbers are coming down, our recidivism rate is holding steady. And criminal court filings last year were down by like 10%. So all of the numbers are going in the right direction. This isn't like we're saving money in corrections and there's mayhem. This is kind of everything is pointing in the right direction. So we just got to continue to do this slowly and move forward.
And once we have the numbers down so that all of the prisoners that we have in the system can stay in Vermont, is that the only barrier to eliminating the out-of-state program? Or do we have the security measures in place all of our prisoners here?
If we can get these numbers down, we have the security measures in place. Our facilities can handle every level of security that we have. It's just a matter of the numbers. And so the one complicator on this is we're at 299. We'll be lower than that by the end of the month.
For out-of-state prisoners.
Correct. We get down to 100 or something like that. I don't think we're going to be able to go 15 a week if these trends hold for the next 30 weeks. I think we're going to have to make a move at some point towards the end and make a different decision. But, let's get to that point. And all this assumes that things don't change and we don't start going the other way. So
a couple minutes left with you. I want to get a couple more questions in from listeners. Gordon Bach is with Cure Vermont. That's a nonprofit that supports prisoners and former prisoners. Gordon, you had a question for Commissioner Polito.
I do, Jane. Commissioner, how are you?
Hi, Gordon.
Hey. Vermont's unfortunate reliance on what we consider to be the venal prison profiteers highlights that a lot of what you do or must do is dictated by what the legislature and the governor's office want done. Peter Shulman is not running for re-election. Let's pretend it's November 9th, 2016, and Andy Polito wakes up as governor. What would you do then that you can't do now?
Gordon, thanks for the question. I will tell you, since this is radio, that you should know that Commissioner Polito was shaking his head like that is the last thing he would ever want. But anyway, answer Gordon's question.
I am a career state employee through and through. So there are certain changes that I don't think we have the appetite for that could push this work forward. Some of the stuff coming out of the coalition is a little bit edgy, and I resist wide-scale changes across the criminal justice system at wholesale level because I don't think we think too much about the individual cases when we do that. So I'm not really in favor. But we've been having the violent versus nonviolent conversation for 20 years in this country and in this state. And still today, we've made significant improvement. But I think it's more than 50% of the women are in on nonviolent charges, and more than 30% of the men, or about 30% of the men, are on nonviolent charges. And so I think we've got to get serious around what we actually do with people in that group and whether or not they really belong in jail or for what period of time. Second thing is addictions. We have to start to get to the point where we treat addiction as a public health issue, and we are moving in that direction. We've got to let the treatment community come online because they don't have the – they're not standing there waiting for us to bring them all this business. But nonetheless, until we get utilization out of the criminal justice process and start to glean the money off the criminal justice system to pay for it, it's going to be a slow process.
All right. So let me ask you another question then. We've been focused in this country in the last several days on a prison break in Dannemora, New York. At a maximum security prison, as everybody knows, two men escaped. They are still on the loose. There's some questions about whether or not they may have planned to come to Vermont. A lot of unknowns there. But I know that highlights questions about the security of the system in general. For you, do you see questions about Vermont's prisons that you think could lead to a prison break? What are your concerns about security?
So quickly, inmates have a lot of time on their hands, and they're learning. They think of things on their own, not all of them, but some of them. They're also learning things through the media, how this all came to be. We wake up Sunday morning, my deputy and I, we're on the phone, we're talking to our facilities head, and every superintendent in the state's getting called, make sure that these security measures are in place. We have measures to make sure these things don't happen. Go back and check them, make sure that you've been around the yard, have a constant presence, and usually you wait for a period of time to see how the inmate population is going to react. It'll eventually slow off, but absolutely hypervigilant. Every system in the country is vulnerable to something like this.
Well, and we're going to keep you for a couple more minutes, so don't worry. You don't have to answer super quickly, but are there things that you look at that you say, oof, Vermont is vulnerable, our prisons are vulnerable?
Well, the thing that we've all got blasting us in the face is Dannemora is an old prison. And so one of the habits we have is we take our facilities and we get our money's worth out of them two and three times over. We have facilities in Vermont that were built before I was born, let alone before you were born, but way before I was born. And so these are not buildings that you would build today. They have poor lines of sight. They're heavily reliant on cameras. People think cameras are the way out of supervision, but you got to have an individual sit and watch them. And the more you add, the more individuals, and they're watching all kinds of things going on. It's very difficult. You build them now. Clear lines of sight, very good lighting, secure so that if you have a problem in one part of the institution, you don't have in the other. A reality of what we're running today, we don't have that in all of our buildings. And so we try and run the system a little more, I don't want to say casual, but a little more relaxed, quiet, clean, keep things calm. One of the feedbacks I always get from people that I tour around facilities is it wasn't really what I thought it was going to be, because it is a deliberate effort to be informal. We're on first name basis. We know a lot of these guys. Try and keep them relaxed. And I don't want to celebrate this, but I've had one institutional escape in my commissionership. It was like 7 years. So I am very aware. I feel for the guy in New York State. I'm sure he's wringing himself over what could potentially happen with these two individuals. And so we all kind of live with this.
We're talking with Corrections Commissioner Andy Pulido, and we know that there are a couple more questions from listeners. So if you don't mind, Commissioner Pulido, we'll have you stick around for another couple of minutes as we talk about issues in the correction system in Vermont. And if you have one, if you have a question, if you have an issue, you can call 1-800-639-2211. I'm Jane Lindholm. This is Vermont Edition, and today we're talking with Corrections Commissioner Andy Pulido about some of the issues in the Department of Corrections. We've looked at the new contract the state is entering with the GEO Group that involves making out-of-state prisoners move from the current facilities they're in Kentucky and Arizona to Michigan. We've also talked a little bit about security concerns. We've talked about why the number of prisoners in Vermont institutions has been going down and what the commissioner thinks would be the best situation for having a lower prison population, but also keeping Vermonters safe. If you have a question that you'd like to share, you can post it on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net, or our number is 1-800-639-2211. Xenia is calling in from Barrie. Hi, Xenia. Go ahead.
Hi. My opinion, and part of this is because I worked in the mental health system, but also years ago, I was involved in destroying draft board records during the Vietnam War, and spent 3 years in federal prison, including an escape. But so many people have trauma histories, you know, child abuse usually often leading to adolescent abuse and adult abuse. And is anybody getting any trauma treatment? That's what's behind most of the drug addiction and other illegal behaviors, either in the out-of-state setting or in Vermont. Are people getting treatment for the underlying trauma?
See, I don't know if you followed. There was a media report a month or so ago regarding mental health and mental health incidences in DOC custody. And one of the things we've seen over the last few years is a pretty good increase in nearly 50%, I think, or 100%, I guess it would be, in mental health calls. And so the services are there. It's just a matter of whether or not people are taking advantage of them. But you're right. There is a lot of studies, and I am no expert in this area, but studies about addiction and its roots in trauma and so on and so forth. And so we are actually very aware of it. Now, the DOC is always in the process of revisiting its treatment programs, how it delivers treatment programs, who provides them, so on and so forth, which I think is going to get to your next question. But so that I guess that's the answer to that.
Well, yeah, let's lead into a question that a couple of listeners have sent us notes about. Julie says, Vermont Works for Women provides unique services to women that community high school does not provide. Will the community high school start providing them? And Kim says, in light of the numerous issues that were raised by the community regarding the women's facility in Chittenden and documented in a white paper submitted to the legislature, including a lack of programming and facility issues, how will cutting the program that has demonstrated great outcomes over the last 14 years and was very cost-effective impact those women? So let me give you give listeners a little bit of background in case they haven't followed this. As reported in VT Digger today, the Department of Corrections has terminated a contract with Vermont Works for Women, which worked with the women who were in the Chittenden facility. This was a $160,000 contract, and Vermont Works for Women provided job training and services and classes for women in that facility. So both of our listeners saying, basically, whoa, why would you cut that when, you know, there is a lack of training opportunities for women in the Chittenden facility?
All right. So there's a history to this. It's a high school history to this and Vermont Works for Women. And I'll try and be really, really quick. This type of works for Vermont Works for Women is a different iteration than what they offered in St. Albans a couple of years ago when the women were there. That was a more of a hands-on trades program.
And this was a bigger facility that had more room for that kind of stuff.
That's correct. And this is much more of a an academic kind of environment, resume writing, and so on and so forth. When we went to the legislature and decided the only way to save money this year was to reduce the high school, and that was based on the falling numbers and the shift in our age groups, the legislature said, if you have high school teachers that have capacity, why couldn't they offer some of your existing contracts? We have millions of dollars in contracts in the DOC, and so it's actually not a bad idea. Vermont Works for Women is a curriculum that the teachers could provide. There are others, and there will be other contracts eliminated or reduced over the next month or so that the high school teachers will take on. And as time goes on, I think you'll see more of this because the work in the high school has been dropping off a little bit. And so we're looking for opportunities to kind of streamline this a little bit and move the work to state employees and away from contracts.
Do you have the other contracts that you're cutting that you can tell us very quickly?
They are curriculum-based treatment contracts. So these are where you deliver a curriculum similar to what you get in high school, similar to what you get in high school or college level. So if it's a curriculum, that's the kind of contract.
Okay, we got it. That is Corrections Commissioner Andy Polito. Thank you very much for staying with us this hour.
Thank you. Anytime.
And that'll do it for today's show. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Education Secretary Rebecca Holcomb about the new education law and more. You can send questions for her to vermontedition@vpr.net. And be sure to listen tomorrow at noon. Our program is produced by Patty Daniels, Rick Singeri, and Sam Gail Rosen, with production assistance from Aaron Lucy and Amanda Shepherd. Liam Connors directed the show. Our executive producer is John Van Hoos. And our theme music was composed by Grace Potter and the Nocturnals. I'm Jane Lindholm. Thanks for listening.